Today's reading is from Romans chapter 15, verse 14 to 33. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen.
When I was still at school in Coffs Harbour, I went for a surf one Saturday at Macaulay's Beach, and the waves were huge. There was too much whitewash to paddle out the back from the shore, so the guys that I was with, we went out onto the headland to jump off the rocks to get behind the waves before they broke. The guy before me, he jumped and he didn't time it that well, and the wave threw him back onto the rocks and busted up his board and shredded his leg. I timed it a little better, and I got out the back unscathed. But the waves, they were just so huge. And the thought of coasting down one of them just didn't fill me with a terrible amount of joy. And so I waited. I just waited and waited, and I bided my time, and I waited until what I thought was a smaller set coming through, and I took off on what I thought was a smaller wave with absolutely no finesse, as fast as I could, towards the shore. And as I was lying on the sand and my heart thumping behind my eyes, I decided I'd never go out and surf that big again, because while surviving it was good, it's not the way to live. And maybe you feel at the moment that we're just surviving in these crazy days, that even as Christians, while we know we've got some comfort in the salvation that we have in Jesus, in actual fact, we might just be bunkering down and waiting it out until life goes back to normal and we can get on with really living. Because at the moment, it just feels like surviving, like you're out the back in big surf, just waiting for that gap, for that breather, that vaccine breakthrough, that government stimulus, that curve to flatten, to make it to shore and to safety. But God wants much more for us than just surviving as his people. And he's given us the Apostle Paul to help us do that, to thrive as Christians. gave us Paul so that our faith in Jesus might thrive. As we listen to Paul, and as we take note of his priorities and his passion. Because right from the start of his letter to the Romans, Paul's made it clear what he's on about. That through Jesus, he received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. It's better read there, the obedience of faith. That captures more what Paul's on about. The idea of drawing people to obey Jesus by putting their faith in him, and then because they trust him, they obey him. The obedience of faith in Jesus then is a promise of an ongoing and flourishing relationship with God through Jesus. And this is what Paul's on about, particularly for the Gentiles, for non-Jews like you and me, for those in the nations who wouldn't know God if they stumbled over him. Paul wants them, as much as the Jews like himself, who've had the privilege of knowing something of who God is, of knowing him down through the centuries as he's interacted with them through the prophets and in his promises to their forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and King David. Paul wants the Gentiles to know God just as intimately as any Jew could by faith in Jesus, so that they might enjoy being in a really good relationship with him, with the God of Israel, in the obedience of faith. And Paul only wants this because it's what Jesus wants. He's Jesus' apostle, after all, sent by the resurrected Jesus personally to see us thrive in the obedience of faith. Which is why Paul spends the first 11 chapters in this letter unpacking the need and the goodness of faith in Jesus as a merciful gift from God to us. And that in the light of that mercy, from chapter 12, what thriving in our relationship with God looks like. As such, if we want to thrive in our faith, we should listen to Paul. Because Paul's whole job, given to him by Jesus, is to make us Gentiles an acceptable offering to God. As he says from verse 14, although having never met these Christians in Rome at the time, Paul's clearly heard from someone he trusts, he's convinced, that they're full of goodness, a goodness that flows from their knowledge of Jesus. But as good as they are, Paul wants them to thrive, which is why he's written so boldly on some points, not as a point-scoring exercise, but because of the grace Paul sees has been given to him by God to minister to them in Christ's name, to discharge his priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, which he's just done in this letter, so that his readers might become an offering acceptable to God. How do these Gentiles become an acceptable offering to God? Well, only as they believe in Jesus as God's mercy to them, and then in gratitude for that mercy, offer their lives to God to live for him, which Paul's faithfully proclaimed and teased out in this letter. So they should really listen to Paul. And all the more that God's backed him up with signs and miracles. As he notes from verse 18, he writes, "I'll not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God." It's true, Paul did amazing and miraculous things. We read in the book of Acts, he healed cripples, he cast out demons, even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. Imagine that. Imagine that, afraid of sneezing in public with that COVID-19 or that non-COVID-19 sniffly nose, which is where Paul's old cardi and Bob's your uncle. I mean, if I was Paul, with God doing all this amazing, miraculous stuff through me, I'd be tempted, I think, to think that I'm special. But instead, Paul's like, nope, these things are not about me. They're what Christ accomplished through me. They're about getting the gospel of Jesus to the Gentiles so that they might stop and listen and become an offering acceptable to God. According to a recent study, the most trusted source of information for your average Aussie to find out about COVID-19 and how to respond is mainstream broadcasting networks like TV or radio. Younger people are using more social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, but generally it seems we're all waking up and going straight to the TV or radio or Facebook or some government website to figure out how to respond. And from what place are we responding? Well, in that same survey, we're told 2 in every 5 Aussies said that they feel very anxious about the future, and the rest of us to varying degrees of worry. So in our worry, we're turning to the TV or radio or Facebook or Twitter to figure out how to respond, which is fine if life after COVID-19 is all you're hoping for. But if life with God now and with him after death is what you're hoping in, then you'll turn first to the most trusted source of info to figure out how to respond. You'll turn up the Paul dial or flick on the Paul channel or tap on the Paul app, so to speak. Because if we want to do more than just survive in our faith, then we need to listen to Paul, even if he speaks boldly to us on some points and challenges us in our thinking and our life as believers. We need to see Paul's not running to his own agenda. He's running to Jesus' agenda. It's a real shame if people say something like, Jesus I like, but not so much Paul. He's a bit of a misogynist, you know, or a homophobe or a bigot. Because the reality is, if you disrespect and disregard Paul, then you're spitting in Jesus' face. Because Jesus sent Paul to help us believe in him and live for him and thrive for him. See, Jesus gave Paul the job of being our apostle and backed it up with signs and wonders through him. So we listen to him and thrive in our faith in Jesus. So what's your plan to read more of Paul? Maybe go back and read Romans again. Maybe pick up one of his other letters in the Bible. Google which ones they are if you don't know. Read and study them and let Jesus strengthen your faith in him through the apostle that he gave you. To thrive in our faith, we should listen to Paul. And we should watch what he does, as he suggests elsewhere, to follow his example as he follows the example of Christ. So it's worth noting what his priorities are. From verse 20, we read Paul's ambition is to preach the gospel where Christ's not known. He didn't want to build on someone else's foundation, but not in the sense of preaching the gospel where someone else is already preaching. He's quoting there from the prophet Isaiah chapter 52 there in verse 21. And in the context of Isaiah's prophecy, those who are not told and those who haven't heard, well, that's a reference to those who don't have the prophets, who aren't familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, who are unaware of the promised Christ. That is the Gentiles. So Paul's ambition to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, it's something scripture says would happen, something God anticipated, something Jesus called him to do, and it's something that nothing will distract him from. Not even enjoying the company of those in Rome for a bit. His priority is preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, we're not apostles personally called by Jesus to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but surely Paul's single-minded ambition to get the gospel out is a chance to take stock of our own ambitions, a chance to check our own priorities in the light of Paul's, who seems to get up in the morning just to kick gospel goals. I can remember the first time I woke up next to Megs just after our wedding night. We talked in pre-marriage counselling about how we were going to pray together to start the day on the right foot. But that first day, Megs was asleep. And so I ordered brekkie and ended up eating mostly all of it pretty much by myself while she dozed. We didn't end up praying together, and there was no great desire to do so. And it wasn't until much later, as we grew up a little bit in our faith and our walk with Jesus, that we got over having to feel like doing it and just decided to, which I think is a bit like kicking any gospel goal. It's not necessarily going to happen because you're all overcome with some super spiritual feeling. It'll happen as you choose to make it a part of your life. So, when you wake up in the morning, rather than resign yourself to some low-grade worry at the day, choose to pray for an opportunity to tell someone the gospel. Pray for someone you know. Make one of the things you pray for each and every morning an unbelieving friend or family member, that they might come to know Jesus. When you're chatting to your neighbour at an appropriate social distance, invite them to church and tell them the link to this live stream. It's possibly the easiest it's ever been to invite someone to church. Plan for life after death with your friends and family and neighbours, not just life after COVID-19. I know someone who said in line at Coles to someone standing next to them the other day, worrying about the state of the world, "Yeah, you wouldn't want to be without Jesus." And they listened. Keep the gospel front and centre in your thoughts and in your words and in your deeds. Let your ambition be to get the gospel to those who haven't heard it, like Paul's was. Take note of his example and prioritise the gospel in your life plans, because it's in this we'll see our faith in Jesus not just survive, but thrive. It'll thrive as we listen to Paul. It'll thrive as we take to heart his gospel priorities. And it'll thrive as we note his passion for the Jews, as he says from verse 25. "Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem." They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. "For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. The Gentile believers in Macedonia and Achaia, they were happy to help the poor Jewish believers in Jerusalem. But more than that, as Paul adds, they owe it to them. They owe it to share with them material blessings because they've shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings. Now, the Jews' spiritual blessings are the blessings of the gospel, of course, promised first to the Jewish people and come to them from the Jews. And it's interesting that the same root word translated contribution here is also translated share. It's the word koinonia. It's where we get the idea of fellowship. And Paul's so desperate to see fellowship between the Jews and the Gentiles in Jesus that he's willing to put his life on the line for it, which is why he urges his readers to struggle with him in prayer. From verse 30, he writes, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there." Paul wants his readers to struggle with him in prayer, to pray for safety against unbelievers in Judea who want his blood. But importantly, he wants them to pray the believers in Jerusalem accept the money that's been given to them. Obviously, Paul's a bit worried that they won't accept it. Maybe because accepting it will mean accepting the Gentile believers who are giving it, which for some of the Jewish believers might have been a little bit toey about. But Paul sees this fellowship between Jews and Gentile is important. It's so important, he's willing to put his life on the line to see it happen. And it's not like Paul's being a drama queen. We know from Acts chapter 21, when he returns to Jerusalem, some Jews see him at the temple and his fears are realized. They stir up a whole crowd and they try to kill him. But Paul's so keen for the Gentile believers to fellowship with Jewish believers, for them to be united and one in Christ, that he's willing to put his life on the line to see it done. And maybe Paul's passion here is a spur for us Gentiles in our thinking towards our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, to remember, as Paul talks about in chapters 9 to 11, that God's still, his plan is still to include the Jews, that he hasn't abandoned them, that in fact many will end up embracing Jesus as their Messiah, and that to that end we Gentiles are to foster bonds of fellowship with them. And think about how we might share with them in the gospel and encourage them in the obedience of faith in Jesus. The other day I was chatting with my kids about what Jesus looks like, that he was probably like most Middle Eastern men in the first century, having olive dark skin, standing around 160 centimetres tall, or 5 foot 2 inches, weighing around 50 kilos, mostly sounding like this, speaking in Aramaic. And Lachlan, my son, was like, whoa, that's like nothing I imagine him to be. But it was helpful to remember that Jesus is a Jew from a time and a place removed from us Gentiles, but who we know and cherish as our Lord and Saviour only because he was first promised to the Jews. And because of that, our bond with our Jewish brothers and sisters is one Paul's passionate to promote, and as a result, one that we should cherish. That's why we as a church family are committed to supporting the organisation CWI, Christian Witness to Israel, and supporting particularly one of the CWI missionaries in Israel in his work in reaching out to Jews with the gospel. Go and check out their website. It's been recently updated and it's got a great deal of info about how you can be praying for and supporting those who are reaching out to the Jews in the name of Jesus, and praying for those Jews who come to faith through CWI's work, that they might enjoy the obedience of faith. Let's catch something of Paul's passion for the Jews knowing Jesus, and for Gentiles and Jews being one in Christ, for sharing sweet fellowship in one way or another, as our Lord intended. And in this way, as we take to heart Paul's passion for the Jews and their obedience of faith, we'll see our own faith thrive. So if you feel like you're just surviving at the moment and you're looking to Jesus for a lifeline, well, he's thrown you a big one in the Apostle Paul. Because Paul's whole job, the job our Lord Jesus gave him, was to faithfully proclaim the gospel to the nations, which he has and he still is in the Bible. All we need to do is listen, to make the time to read the Bible, to read Paul's letters, and as we do, pray the same Spirit who inspired Paul to write them would move us to see the gospel go out to all those who haven't heard it, to Gentiles and to the Jews. And as we do this, as we listen to Paul and let his priorities and his passion shape our own, our faith in Jesus, it'll do more than just survive, even in these survival-like times. Our faith will thrive. And I'm going to pray to that end now. Father God, thanks so much for our Saviour Jesus. Thanks that he saves us from sin and hopelessness and fear of death. Thanks that he saves us from slavery to sin into the freedom of being one of your children, into the freedom of knowing you as our gracious Heavenly Father and wanting to please you and love you. Please help us in these times when it might feel like we're just surviving to see you want us to thrive in our faith, and gave us the Apostle Paul just for that. Help us then to listen to him, to dig into his letters in the Bible and to be moved by his gospel priorities and passions. Thanks so much for him and for the Lord Jesus who gave him to us and the Holy Spirit who inspired him to live for Jesus. Help us to be like him and so thrive in our faith in these times. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.